The U.S. report on the Gulf oil spill says the industry must change, and that could be felt all around the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The U.S. government investigation into the Gulf of Mexico oil spill has blamed cost-cutting and management failures by BP and by other companies. The first chapter of the presidential's panel is out today, and it warns a disaster is likely to happen again without significant change in industry practice and government policies. Now, the disaster, of course, was in American waters, but the ripples are being felt all around the world. And Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
What effect is this going to have in Europe and worldwide?
I think it's going to make quite a splash because the report talks about systemic failure throughout the oil industry. It's interesting. Today, a UK parliamentary inquiry has also reported. This also was triggered by the Gulf of Mexico disaster. And this report says UK regulation of offshore drilling is superior to that under which the Deepwater Horizon operated. Things were tightened up here after a natural gas rig blew up in 1988 in the North Sea, the Piper Alpha disaster. But interestingly, this UK report out today says the UK should monitor any changes now in the US regulatory regime to see if the US now establishes a new gold standard of regulation, which we should follow.
I imagine a new era of regulation wouldn't be entirely embraced by the industry. Is this going to slow offshore drilling in your part of the world?
No, I think it's most unlikely. In fact, the UK report says that there should not be a moratorium here. The North Sea is too important to the UK. It employs something like 500,000 people and provides 2/3 of the country's energy requirements.
And how is BP reacting to this report, Stephen?
Well, they issued a statement this morning acknowledging the report, saying they've already put many safety changes in place, and also noting with some satisfaction that they're not the only ones in the frame, that the report blames Transocean and Halliburton too. And that's reflected in BP's shares. They were up this morning.
Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Global food prices hit their highest levels ever last month. That's according to the United Nations' new Food Price Index, which tracks the prices on meats and wheats and sugars all around the world. The last time food prices were at record highs, we saw food riots. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
2 years ago, high food prices around the world caused tortilla riots in Mexico, rice protests in Haiti, and bread unrest in Egypt. But the UN report says food prices are actually higher today than they were then. Abdelraza Abbasian is an economist at the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. He says the situation isn't as bad as 2008 because many poorer countries have had relatively good harvests.
Take Africa, for example. East, West, Central Africa had the record or above average crops themselves.
Sugar and cooking oil have seen the biggest rise, but the real problem is wheat and corn. Wildfires in Russia led to a wheat export ban, and the floods in Australia have made the problem worse, while corn stocks are under increasing pressure because of greater support for biofuels in the US. Abbasian believes that if conditions don't improve, then prices could go even higher, and tensions could start to flare up again. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are higher right now, lifted by good economic news that came out of the U.S. yesterday. Hundreds of thousands of new private sector jobs here at home in December. A report on the nation's services sector shows it grew at a healthy clip last month. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 31 points to close at 11,722.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
It's summertime in Brazil, in the heart of South America, and it's blazing hot. Well, that includes the weather and the business climate. An increasing number of American marketing agencies want to tap into Brazil. Andre Gustavo heads up the Brazilian office of Wyden and Kennedy. That's a big ad agency based in Oregon. He's with us from Sao Paulo. Hello, Andre.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Why Brazil? The Brazilians speak Portuguese, yet the rest of Latin America, South America, of course, speak Spanish. Why not go to a Spanish-speaking country?
The obvious answer is because of the size of the market. Brazil's got 190 million people living there, so it's a huge market. Economy is stable. Economy is growing. Country's gaining importance in the world scenario. So I guess all of that compensates for not speaking Spanish.
Who is the Brazilian consumer? Who is that person?
The main Brazilian consumer now is somebody who is improving life. People are getting access to consumption, are getting access to brands. Since the economy is being stable, it's easier to get access to credit. So it's a new consumer that is finding out that they have access to stuff that they never imagined they could. So it's a very optimistic, eager kind of consumer.
How much of this, Andre, is due to the fact that Brazil has snatched the World Cup in 2014 and the Summer Olympics in 2016, right?
Yes, you're right. There's a great momentum for Brazil. Many companies, agencies, groups, I guess there's a lot of attention, not only for sports, but I guess also for music and for culture as a whole.
Andre Gustavo, marketing director for Wyden and Kennedy in Sao Paulo. Obrigado.
De nada. You're very welcome.
And finally, British pubs and restaurants have to comply by strict size standards for serving beer. You can get your favorite brew in a half pint or a full pint. But now pub goers will soon have another size to choose from, the schooner, which is somewhere in between. It's about two-thirds of a pint. The British government this week approved the new size, saying consumers should have more choices. The changes are some of the most radical since the pint was introduced in Britain more than 300 years ago. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Going home isn't always easy, especially when a good part of your life has been spent someplace else.
The German people are punctual. If you have your appointment, if 10 o'clock, you will be there 2 minutes to 10. But in Turkey, they are sometimes 2 hours late.
I'm Kai Riznal. Young Turks go home next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.